We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron is in Kansas City. Bob is in the comforts of his own home. Don't you have a four-wheel drive vehicle, Bob?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
He just didn't feel like coming in today, Joe. It's that simple.
I literally walked until I got a ride from a landscaper from Ace Hardware up the street here. Bob, with four-wheel drive, you couldn't make it in?
Well, let me tell you a little bit of my decision. I got home really late last night, okay? And I know I have to go back.
You're tired, Bob. I'm sorry. You're tired.
That's not it. Given the fact that you got to travel to the station and back from the station, we have a 4 o'clock, a 5 o'clock, a 6 o'clock news. If I get stranded or it takes forever to get back, I can't get back in there. This is easier for me, so I could make the television right when I'm done. You know what I'm saying? So it's all strategy. It's all trying to outline a game plan and sticking to the game plan. I'm still on. What's the difference?
To whittle that to five words, you're more important than us. That's actually
true. No, I'm just making smart decisions.
You are more critical to what's happening media-wise in Pittsburgh today than Ron or I. You have to go on. Well, how would you get stranded? The roads are only going to get better, Bob.
I understand that, but maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. I didn't want to take that chance. I don't want to rush. You know, so I figured this would be the easiest way to do it. So as soon as I'm done, jump in the shower and go to work.
Not exactly a surprise, Joe, that he puts his priorities not with us.
Bob.
Here we go.
Who was that? That was the guy from Denver, right? Kliss. Yeah, Mike Kliss. All right. Where are we here? We're giving people a chance to vent for sure. Well, it would make a big difference if you were here, Bob. It would make a big difference. You'd be sitting across from me. We'd be having a wonderful time. Makes the show a little easier transition-wise, right?
Well, yeah, I would actually look forward to kicking my feet up.
In Ron's seat?
On Ron's desk.
Exactly. You could have had the pleasure of that today. But we're giving people a chance to vent. It's a good day for that and to weigh in. So let's go to Rich. What's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I don't know if it was lost on you, but the irony of James Washington catching Ben's last touchdown pass was just just beautiful for me. I mean, Ben never threw to him the whole time he was here, and if I were Washington, I'd sell him back the ball because, I mean, he did nothing to enhance his value in his upcoming free agency. I really like James.
I don't know if I'd agree with that at all. Ben lobbied for him to be on the field more last year. I'm going to blame the player for not producing more and not getting out there. You know, I guess there is an irony that he caught the last pass, but I would argue that, you know, Ben, like, shut him out of the offense, Joe.
Let's take a look at his numbers. What was the duck year?
2019.
That was his best year by far, 44 catches. In no other season did he have as many as 30. I'm not saying that Ben shut him out, but they certainly didn't have any kind of rapport.
Well, I mean, as a quarterback who's aging, who's at the end of his career, you know, a lot of these guys throw it up there, and they throw it to a receiver that's going to go up and get the ball. They're not as precise. I mean, Brady being an exception in that regard. It seems to me that you didn't see any of this malarkey on the field with James Washington. He caught the ball. He put the ball down. He wasn't posturing, gesturing, you know,
flagellating, all that. Having said that, You know, when I do think back to the Duck year, too, there were extenuating circumstances, and he was given an opportunity. I don't know that I would blame Ben. I'm not saying that at all. But I will say this, Ron, and we appreciate the call, sir, is that one of the big mysteries of this season was the disappearance of James Washington. I mean, yesterday was tailor-made for him. I honestly thought that going in. The one thing the guy can do is go up and get a ball, a 50-50 ball. It's the one thing. He was the true one-trick pony in recent Steelers history, right?
Yeah, he was. And, you know, obviously he couldn't get on the field. He asked to be traded according to all the reports. And now he's a free agent. I don't know. He can't imagine him getting much money, but I also can't imagine him being back next year under any circumstances.
Well, one trick is better than none, and that's what Ray McLeod had. It's one of the biggest mysteries of the season, Bob, for me. And I'm not saying he was going to be Lynn Swann. I'm saying what happened to him? He had multiple games with zero catches, and Ray McLeod they treated like Jerry Rice.
Yeah, it is surprising. I mean, after they lost Juju, maybe they felt he was a better opportunity to slide through some people. Ray McLeod, I don't know. What I do know is that I was more shocked at what happened to Chase Claypool. I expected a big year from him. I mean, a really big year based on what he showed last year as a rookie. But Ron, even yesterday, until late in the game, I didn't hear his name mentioned once. And I expected him to be one of those guys who can go up and make those kind of catches too.
You're talking about Ray yesterday?
No, I'm talking about Chase Claypool.
Yeah, on the sideline, I mean, he falls down and then he looks like he's hurt. I don't know. To me, he's been a major disappointment this year, Joe.
A disappointment, I would say, for sure. But I think Deontay Johnson was chasing him down by the end of the year. And certainly yesterday, I mean, that was a disaster. I don't know that Ben gave Claypool enough opportunities in either Kansas City game. I mean, the one guy made a nice play on him yesterday. And then some of the deep balls Ben threw yesterday. I mean, Michael Irvin called them area code balls last week. They weren't even in the area code. They were just uncatchable. So it's the whole thing with the downfield passing game. But yes, he definitely took a step back this season. But I don't know that Deontay took a step forward. When you shake it all up at the end of the year, he was disastrous. In his final, pretty much the final 6-7 games, he looked like the guy from last year.
I couldn't agree more. His last 4 or 5 games, again, when he didn't make the Pro Bowl, it was almost like, hey, okay, I'm done. I know that's not the case.
That's
certainly what it looked like at the time. I thought he was having a really good year. I thought he was a really good player. But he had a totally horrible finish.
It seems to get in his head. Once something goes bad, it just, the whole thing, it goes full Pedro Alvarez yesterday, Bob.
Yeah, and a lot of those plays, you know, looking back, may have been nothing because Mahomes was not going to be denied when you score touchdowns on 6 straight possessions. However, they were 3rd and short, slants for him. He makes it. They get a new set of downs, occupy more time. Whatever the case, those are big plays that were dropped, and you can't have those given what he went through last year and how he worked to change it, and he did at the beginning of the season. And all of a sudden, at the end, there were more drops. It was very reminiscent of last year.
What did we make of the entire Juju saga? His performance, his rationale for playing, the idea that he could come back next year. Ron?
I think he could end up back here next year because I don't think he's going to get any kind of money that he likes, you know, from somewhere else because he was hurt all year and he's going to run into the same situation he did last year. Now, I also heard him say he's going to advocate that Ben comes back. Well, that's not going to happen. I don't know what impact that'll have on him going somewhere else, but I could see him coming back here. I'm glad he tried to play last night. I'm glad he got through it okay. He's a tough kid. He's a willing kid. I wouldn't bet on him coming back, Bob, but I won't be surprised if he does.
Well, to me, it's not in his best interest. If he gets a multi-year deal from somebody out there, then it would be in his best interest to go there. I don't think the Steelers are in a position to do that, given everything else they have. But, Joe, you asked the question, what does it mean? It speaks to his character, to his willingness to help, even if it meant risking something for him. And it could have been risky for him. Who knows? He's well ahead of schedule. I think that said a lot about him as a football player and his willingness to help guys on his team.
At the same time, he said his rationale was also about wanting to prove to other teams that he was healthy. So that was part of the motivation, too.
He had his own motivation there beside helping the team.
But yeah, so credit.
Yeah, but
credit
I mean, he also risked something too.
He did. He risked something, and I would never ever question Juju's heart and willingness to take punishment and things like that. I think he's been all of that and more in terms of putting himself out there for the team. This guy was on the field in the third quarter of a preseason game this year, taking punishment. I'm still trying to get over the fact that he gave up Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson to come back to this offense.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
I know.
I'd love to know what he really feels about even before he got hurt, how he was used, because it sure seemed like he was convinced Matt Canada was going to expand his route tree this season. And man, that didn't happen. And it's hard for me to believe if he gets any kind of offer from a team with a real quarterback that he's going to give it up this time around.
You know, he played shockingly to me. Like, he started the game. He was out there for the first play. And then I don't think he was out there for a series or two. But he ended up playing 52 snaps out of 68. That's a pretty good percentage. I thought he'd be on a pitch count. I never thought he'd play that much.
And he got their first down of the game. It was a little bit dramatic at the time.
Well, he had 8 more snaps than Claypool yesterday. Washington had 23. Ray yesterday. This is amazing. How many? Ray had 14 snaps yesterday.
That's about right. That sounds about what it should be.
14 snaps yesterday.
Yes. That's what it should have been all along, honestly. I mean, that was one of the craziest developments of the season as well, Bob. And I know he had a big catch in Baltimore and a punt return. But when you add it all up, my God. This guy they treated like he was a combination of Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make any sense whatsoever, given everybody else they had there. But, you know, I'll give him credit for, you know, working his butt off to get opportunities. But he should not have been the focal point. And in many games, he was right up the top of the list when it comes to targets. And to me, that shows you the problems they have schematically, because most of his stuff is low underneath stuff. That was 90% of what they did. And they ignored the middle of the field. They did, you know, Kansas City uses the middle of the field, I think, better than a lot of teams. And it helps to have Travis Kelce. But they do it with other guys.
Yeah.
They do crossing patterns. They do slant patterns. They do things that encourage yards after the catch. And the Steelers don't do that. Those sideline throws, even if they do connect, result in whatever the yardage is and not much after that. So, to me, that's one of the biggest stories of this offensive scheme, Ron, is the fact that they ignored a big part of the field.
Well, I mean, a couple of those plays where Mahomes had like 2 fakes to guys and then finding a guy wide open. I mean, and he had another sidearm pass for the touchdown. He can do stuff that other teams can't, but I think your point about the scheme is a good one. When you have him, you can do everything, but they also put him in great position to succeed.
They really do. And someone just reminded me on Twitter, Thomas Glovier, I think it is. Way too much predictable zone defense. I'm so tired of this living in your fear, weak, soft little zone that Brady used to pick apart, that Mahomes picked apart, that Blake Bortles picked apart, for God's sakes. It's so bad at playoff time to see the Steelers just get destroyed like that in their little zone defense. Of course, they go to man. Everybody turns their back and Mahomes runs for 30 yards, but something's got to change. Like, people can rationalize and say, hey, at least they're in the playoffs. This scheme is not working. It's scheme, it's talent. It's just not working. They've set a record for the history of the league for the most points given up in a 3-game playoff span. You can't come back with the Tomlin-Butler duo as your coordinatorship. Really, really, it's Tomlin. He's the coordinator. Well, you have to make a change.
You set a record for 3 postseason games. I'll bet it's a record for 4. Go back to that New England AFC Championship game. They put up 36.
Yeah.
So they've given up 173 points in 4 games. That averages out to better than 43 points a game.
I mean, it's mind-blowing. It really is. And the offense has contributed, I know, a couple of those touchdowns, so you can knock off 14 points and then – you know, turnovers deep in their territory, but any way you slice it, it ain't working. It's just not. Bob?
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. I mean, as much as the defense, you know, they need help, obviously, but this offense has consistently allowed them to fall behind so badly. I mean, even last year in their playoff game, what was the score? 28-0 before the Steeler offense responded?
True. That's true.
What about this Kansas City game? They didn't do anything, and they had a lead of 7-0 courtesy of a defense halfway through the second quarter, and then all of a sudden it just got to the point where they were on the field so much. This offense has compromised the defense, to me, in many ways.
I know. I hear that. I do. I mean, they desperately needed just a drive or two to stay off the field. They've never been in a position in these playoff games to just, you know, unleash and go after the quarterback and have a lead and do all the things they like to do. Although they did stake themselves to a lead yesterday, 7-0, and then let Mahomes go right down the field, and then the defense fell apart too. It's just, I don't know, man. How are we supposed to look at this? I'm sure there are other cities who would say we'd love your problems. But I thought the idea here was to make playoff runs, and it just looks so bleak right now. And it hasn't really happened since 16 anyway, and only once in the last 10, 11 years. Bob?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I think this is going to be a really interesting way to go into this offseason, what they have to do, the list. I'd love to see what that priority list would be, or even if you have one. You know, you get to a point where you say, well, I'm just going to go with playmakers. Wherever I can get them, I'm going to get them. Ron, but they have so much, like I said, I don't think it's achievable in one off season. They could spend money and they could, you know, accelerate the process, I think, but I still think they got too many things that they got to figure out.
Well, I mean, I think they're going to draft a quarterback and maybe let him sit behind Mason for a year and try to get him ready, kind of like Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a year. And Ben maybe would have sat for a year behind Tommy Maddox if Maddox hadn't have got hurt. So I do think it's going to take more than next year, no matter how much they spend and how much they, change around the offensive line, maybe. The secondary, who knows what's happening there, Joe. Joe Hayden could be gone. Witherspoon could be gone. Terrell Edmonds could be gone. I mean, they could have a totally new secondary next year, too.
Well, we're going to get into the future for sure in the show coming up, and we already have a little bit, but we will dive into that later. But up next, let's take one last look at this hideous debacle, and let's go through Ray Fittipaldo's report card and see what grades we would have given. I think there's one guy on the team who deserves an A for yesterday's game. Might be Kalen Ballage, Ron. Did you see his first run of the game?
I told
you. It's right up the middle.
When you said only one guy had a good game yesterday, and I thought that's who you were talking about.
It wasn't Benny Snell on that punt return, I can tell you that. Have you ever seen more slow guys on a field at once? The guy returning the punt made the Steelers look like they were running in like 3 feet of mud.
And then I'm sorry, the Steelers just sent out who's available to talk today. Deontay Johnson is coming up. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Me neither. And he was a guy last week who said more than anybody and then did about less than anybody. So, 412-928-9370, Professor Pompiani and Professor Cook will hand out the report cards next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Before the game, Mike Tomlin delivered a legendary line to Michelle Tafoya saying, if you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. Bob, I wished I had gouged my eyes out before I watched this game, but let's take one last look at it since we must, and let's do it in the form of Ray Fittipaldo's report card. He's a wonderful man, Bob. Probably as nice as you. Do you feel any rivalry there on the niceness meter with Ray?
Ray's terrific, and he lives in my daughter's neighborhood, so he's get to know him a little bit better that way, and he went to Point Park, so we share a lot like that. But he's Ron will tell you, he's kind of soft-spoken. He doesn't say a lot, but he's a very, very genuine guy.
Well, if I'm being honest on the like meter, I like Ray a lot better than Bob.
Well, you should.
Do you feel threatened, though, Bob, because you're generally regarded as the nicest man in Pittsburgh sports? Maybe Jerry DePaula, although I think even Jerry would say higher profile. Do you feel like Ray is a threat?
I don't ever look at anything that way. No, Ray is a really good person. He's a tremendous writer. He has everything that you would want. And Ray is one of the nicest guys you'll be around. I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay. Just checking. Quarterback. He says Ben went out with a whimper. 5 for 14 at the start for 24 yards in the first half before some garbage time stats in the second half. No fairy tale ending, but his gold jacket does await in 27. Thanks for the memories. Grade for the game, a D. Why don't we go Ron, Bob, and then myself. Ron?
I'd probably give him a little higher, maybe a C minus. I think Tomlin made it very clear that, you know, even though Ben wasn't good and he wasn't, his receivers really let him down. He had a pointed comment. Somebody asked him, do you feel like your receivers could have made plays in the first half? He goes, you think? And somebody said, well, I'm just asking. He goes, yes. Very pointed comment. I'd probably say C minus.
I would say C. I thought he was probably one of the least of their problems. They had a lot of other issues to deal with. There were a couple of times where he no sooner got the ball that he was under duress. And I think, you know, we saw more of what maybe Ben likes to do in the second half. The first half of these games, I'm sorry, but it comes down to me to a schematic approach and what they're doing. You can't go through 7 of the last 8 games and not score any points at halftime. Yeah, it's the quarterback who's ultimately on the field for all of that, but it's also a lot of lack of talent and lack of good coaching.
A C? You're giving him an average grade? He was 5 for 14 for 24 yards before he got a bunch of garbage time totals in the second half. It's not just his numbers. It's the fact he's not dynamic anymore. He can't make a play.
I think if his receivers had made some catches, there would have been plays there.
I mean, there would have been 2 5-yard catches by Deontay Johnson. I don't know.
I understand, but in the second half, things open up more. I understand they were garbage time.
They opened up
numbers
when it got to be 35-7.
I understand that, but I think Ben Roethlisberger's offense is different than Matt Canada's. I think there is a tug of war going there. I think there's a problem.
There may have been a tug of war, but I'm not buying this notion that, they should have just started the game that way. I mean, come on. Like if Matt Canada had said, Ben, it's your offense from the beginning, they would have mowed the Chiefs down up and down the field like they did when it was 35-7. I can't believe that.
Are you endorsing the way they start games, though, Joe? It's been the same exact thing all season long. It's been the same underneath.
Well, how much does the quarterback have to do with that?
That's the $64,000 question. I don't know. I don't know how much of it is him, how much is them.
He's almost incapable of making the dynamic type of plays.
And
he
I don't disagree
make.
With that.
He's made some really good throws late in games, obviously. But for this game yesterday, the fact that they showed up with him, he gets an F. He just was incapable of making anything happen.
Okay. I disagree from that point of view. I think he was the least of their problems. I think they have a lot of problems on offense.
So you don't, when you say the least of their problems, showing up with a 39-year-old quarterback who cannot move is not beginning the game with a huge problem?
They
Do you see how many
choice.
Guys crowd the line of scrimmage because they,
well,
they don't respect idea that he can beat them over the top?
They made a choice to bring him back this year. To me, the failure was they didn't do enough to give him what he needed. They knew what they had with him, and they knew that his mobility had been not the same. But I'm telling you that they had that offensive line was the number one problem, receivers not being able to do anything. I mean, just look at Najee Harris. I thought he was not the same for some reason. Maybe that injury was worse, but there was nowhere for him to run. That's been the case all season long. So what are you supposed to do? I'm just saying. I'm saying C. I'm going to give a lot of Fs beyond this.
Okay. It was a good conversation, Bob.
Sure.
Running backs. Najee Harris. Ron, I think I jinxed him last week. Do you remember our numbers game when I said zero and then I said I'm afraid I've now jinxed him? He fumbled.
On his fumble, first one all year. I thought the running backs, yeah, they were non-relevant. Other than Ballage, who I would give an A to. I'd give everybody else a D.
I give him an F in this game. Actually, it's your turn, Bob, and I'm sorry I cut
the
line.
No, you took my number, F. I just think there was no production there. F.
I thought on the first two carries of the game, I agreed with Alan Faneca. This is not a day to bounce it outside. You get what they give you. If it's 1 yard, if it's two, if it's three. First carry of the game, he bounced outside, and he only had one guy to make miss, and he didn't do it. Whoever is number 22 for them, the same as him, absolutely drilled him.
Blew him back. Knocked him backward. I haven't seen that happen all year.
I know. I have to believe he was compromised a little bit yesterday.
He was very apprehensive.
But he also didn't run well. I mean, there was a reason Kalen Ballage was out there, as much as I love Kalen Ballage.
He's
so
a slug.
It didn't go well. I love Najee Harris, but this one's an F. Let's get to the receivers next, shall we? And the offensive line. And every other position, and take one last look at the debacle that was 42-21. And then I want to ask these gentlemen, these fine gentlemen, handsome gentlemen, to place this loss in history in terms of embarrassing playoff defeats, which is different than painful. Can be the same in some instances, but painful would be losing to Dallas in a really good Super Bowl, or Green Bay, maybe even Denver in that AFC title game. They lost to horses. Hero John Elway in that game. To me, those aren't embarrassing. This one was really embarrassing, but where would it rank? Where would it rank in Steelers playoff history? We'll talk about all of that coming up on...
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cook and Joe and Bob. Horace, was that on the air?
Yes, it was.
You got me again, didn't you? I like that part of that commercial, Bob. I always did.
You just like to sing things, too. I noticed that. And that's a good thing because you're blessed to have a nice voice.
Thank you. Offensive line. Let's move on to that in our little report card. I think Ron would have made a wonderful professor, Bob. Do you?
He'd be a hard grader, but yes.
I think the kids would have loved him. He would have had the classic professor's beard. He could have taught journalism at his alma mater, Northwestern. Ron, did that ever occur to you to give it a shot?
No, it never did. You're the educator, Joe. You do have classes, and you're quite the teacher.
I gave our very own Nicholas Callis a B, which he never lets me forget, instead of an A. But anyway, we've given out quarterback and running back. How about the offensive line? This was great, and we follow along with Ray Fittipaldo on this one. I thought this was his best entry today. It was there were missed assignments early, led to pressure, sacks. Trey Turner whiffed on Wharton. He whiffed on Wharton, Bob. There wasn't much push in the running game, but that's been the story all season. And then the kicker, I'm sure we'll hear from Art Rooney the second about how this will all be addressed. Great line. Ron, what do you got?
They kept Ben relatively clean. I'd probably give him a D minus. I don't think I'm going to give him an F. They are what they are. They're not very good. I'm going to give him a D.
F for me.
Would you care to expound on that, Bob?
F speaks loudly.
All right, good enough. I'm going to give him a D in this game. I feel like I agree with Hokey. It's like they never just unleash them and let them run block and go out. And you know, if they fail a couple of times with help from the running back, I might add, it's like they just go away from it. And then I agree with Ron. I didn't think Ben was under siege the whole game. I thought you said Ben was the least of their problems. In some ways, they were the least of their problems yesterday to me. And they still got a D, mind you. They've been taking crap all year for good reason. But still, it's not all on them. The other units have a lot to do with it. So I'm going D.
I couldn't agree more. Let's get to the wide receivers.
Yeah, how come? Oh, there we are. I skipped the receivers. All right, the receivers. Ray gives them a D and adds this. Should the Steelers pay Deontay Johnson like a number one receiver? I'll add that little caveat, Ron. You can give a grade and answer the question.
I thought they were awful yesterday. Even Freiermuth, you know, wasn't on the same page with Ben. I always go back to something Arians once told me, you know, whenever the receivers don't run the route the quarterback expects, blame the receiver because the quarterback knows the offense better than they do. I thought they were awful. I give them an F. And, man, I'll tell you, until – 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would absolutely say commit big money to Deontay. Now, I don't know that I can do that, Bob.
F, and I agree. I wouldn't do it, not yet. What I saw at the end of the season was more of what I saw last season, and I thought he had gotten rid of that element to his game, but it still could be there despite all the tennis balls that he takes.
That was incredible. They showed the tennis ball routine right before he ran the wrong route on that fly pattern that he stopped. He stopped in the middle of going down the left sideline. Man, I don't know that I can pay this guy, and he's a tremendous talent. Roethlisberger has called him unguardable, but I worry about the mental side of the game. I mentioned Pedro Alvarez. It seems when this guy gets in a funk, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. I mean, it's one thing to drop a ball. Everybody does. But he drops two yesterday and commits a penalty and stops on a route. Come on. He's not a number one receiver yet. I can't call him that. Claypool took a step back. All of a sudden, a position that I thought was a tremendous strength coming into the season looks like anything but that right now. I don't know what happens with Juju. I think James Washington is gone. James Washington was the star of the day, Ron. So because of him, I'm giving them a D minus and not an F.
Well, Deontay changed when he wasn't picked to the Pro Bowl. To me, that seemed to be the line of demarcation. You know, I don't know if he just said to hell with it. What does it matter? They don't recognize my talent. I would hope he doesn't do that. But he was bad. I thought Freiermuth didn't have his best game. I don't think Claypool had his best game. Juju gets a pass, and I give him credit for being out there. But I thought the whole line was bad.
They were all bad. And Ben also had a bad day giving them opportunities, I thought, largely. I mean, most of the balls that went down the field were not catchable, I would say. Defensive line. There's only so much one man can do. Ray Fittipaldo writes, Cam Hayward a force early in the game, but after that, just not good. I'm not quoting him there. I'm adding that. He gives him a C.
I thought, Cam, that play he made on the sideline when he was about 15 yards downfield, he just crunched that running back. He's the one that set up the scoop and score for TJ. I thought, Cam, excellent. Again, nobody else that I even noticed. So, I'm going to give Cam an A and everybody else a D.
Cam, A plus. Everyone else, same thing. D. Somebody else has got to rise up in that thing. They drafted guys. They brought guys in. They show you something here and there. But mostly they didn't get what they needed to do and get to the quarterback, which I know is hard to do with Patrick Mahomes. But you'll never stop Cam Hayward from hustling all over the field regardless. I mean, it started with that Justin Herbert chase down. And yesterday, same thing. He is just a load in there to handle, but he can only do it. That's a good comment by Ray. It's a one man. How much can he do? He needs help.
Yeah, this was a disaster this season. Again, this was going to be a position, I think, of major strength. Up with that defensive line, especially in a 3-4, up with anybody's. Cam Hayward, Tuitt, and Alo-Alo. I'll put that in, and they proved it with Alo-Alo, just him and Cam in Buffalo. They were destructive. This killed them this season. It really did. And yesterday, however, I agree with Ray, and I'm going to give him a C. I actually noticed Montrevious Adams made an incredible play coming down the line, tackling somebody from behind to set up, and they punted, I think, a play later. I think he might be a keeper. I'm going to give them a C in this game. It's not really their job other than Cam to get after the quarterback. It's the next group, and let's talk about them a little bit. Linebackers. Ray gave them a C, says they got Kelsey matched up against Spillane. What was the snap count here, Ron? Do you happen to have that in front of you by any chance?
I do. What do you want to know?
I want to know how it all broke down between Bush, Mahomes, or Bush, Schobert, and Spillane. Oh, that's what I'm curious about.
All right, let me find it here.
Ron's in his hotel still, Bob. You think he's in his undies? I do.
Yes.
Ron?
I am in my tidy whiteies.
Shirtless?
No, it's too chilly out. It's cold here.
Barefoot?
Bush, yeah, as a matter of fact. You need anything more details?
No, that's enough.
Bush played 33 snaps, 51%.
Uh-huh.
Spillane played one more, 34. And I can't even find.
Schobert.
I'm looking for Schobert.
This is high quality.
Same thing, 35.
So Spillane played the most?
33, 34, 35. Schobert played the most by 1 point.
Wow.
They all played the same.
So they bring in a pretty high-priced guy in Joe Schobert, and that's what we get in the end. They go up and draft Devin Bush 10th overall, give up precious resources, and this is what they get?
Major disappointment for me. Major. You know, we've been ripping Bush all year long, deservedly so. Schobert, to me, I hailed that trade. And again, they didn't give up much. What, a six-round pick? It was well worth the risk, I think. I don't think they're binded to his contract. I can't imagine him coming back. I thought a major disappointment, Bob.
Totally. That's another F category for me. What their expectations were, what they got in return.
Well, we're talking all linebackers here, though, Bob, just to be clear.
I understand
that. Including Watt and Highsmith.
Oh, well, I thought you meant inside.
No.
Then I'm going to change that to a C, I guess, overall. But inside is still the problem. Highsmith's going to be fine. Watt, you know what he got. They do need a little bit of depth there, but that's the least of their problems. They got to figure out what they got on the inside. You can tell me all you want about, you know, guys like Ulysses Gilbert and all these people. Tell me who's making plays and tell me who's wide open in the middle of the field all the time. It's other teams. So to me, no matter who's in there, what combination of player, it's less than what they should expect. Far less. So it's an F.
It's a disaster, Bob, the inside linebacking situation. And I agree with Ron that Schobert probably hasn't taken enough heat because Bush has become a lightning rod. Understandably. I mean, they did move up to draft the guy 10th overall. And I also understand he's been hurt. I get that. But come on, man. It's the end of the season. It's nice that Watt made a play and the ball fell into Bush's hands and any one of us could have picked it off. He had one tackle.
Right.
He had one tackle in a playoff game. And Schobert was nowhere to be found and Spillane was getting toasted. I mean, this is a position where the Steelers have an incredibly rich history and it just ain't happening right now. I don't know what they're going to do here. They've got some major decisions to make. This seems like a draft spot again, which is once you start chasing positions like this, you're obviously costing yourself at other positions. I mean, come on. It was a joke. So meanwhile, Watt and Highsmith probably get an A for yesterday. The other guys get an F, so a C in the end. Quickly, the defensive backs and special teams. Just give me a grade.
I thought the defensive backs were bad yesterday. Joe Hayden even got beat. Edmonds got beat. I'd say D minus for them.
I would say D. I thought Trey Norwood played well for someone who's a rookie coming in the way he did. He had a really good first quarter and a half, and then at the end it just became too much for
him. Didn't he get smoked for two touchdowns, though?
He did. But again, I look at where he is. He's a seventh round pick. They're expecting him to do all those things with Mahomes going all over the place. It's a trickle down effect. It's not being able to contain him, and it makes a guy like Norwood look bad when it's really the result of the entire defense. So, D.
I felt bad for him because you can only hold down Mahomes for so long. I mean, you need to keep your defense off the field. You need to keep some tricks in your bag instead of emptying them, all of them in the first quarter because you're out there for 12 possessions. But in the end, they were pretty bad. I mean, everybody, Cam Sutton, everybody got hit in this one for at least a big player too. So I got to give him a D-. All right, we'll get to special teams and coaching next to round out the – I just noticed Ray's grade for coaching, and it made me laugh for some reason. I'll tell you what it is next. Top of the hour, we'll take a little trip around the league because there were some wild games in the NFL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.